where I'm coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up, but we can speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're speaking up for Jesus and you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning, good morning to all of you out there in radio land. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in this Situation Room. We hope and pray that you've been having a real good day. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. And the psalmist says, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And you need to rejoice this morning, not because of your circumstances, but because of who can control your circumstances and who's in control of your circumstances. Listen, the devil is not running things. God is running things in your life. Listen, that God has even got the devil under his control. So you cheer up, my brothers and sisters, and you be encouraged this morning because God haven't left you to face life problems by yourself. Matter of fact, we have his promise. He says, I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. I'll be with you always, even till the end of the age. So if you're a child of God, then God is with you. Amen. All right. All right. We have a wonderful program scheduled for you this morning in the Situation Room. This is the day that we focus on Bible questions. We're going to be looking at Bible questions this morning. But before I answer some Bible questions, let me give some contact information. Let me give some contact information out. Just in case you have a Bible questions that you want me to answer, or a marriage question, because we have a day set aside where we deal with marriage question, or if you have a hot topic, something that's going on in the community, in your neck of the woods, and you want me to give a biblical frame of reference on it, then you can call me at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or you can email them to me at BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. All right. Like I said, this is the day that we focus on Bible questions and answers. So let me go and get my Bible and let's answer some Bible questions. All right, here Bible question is. I heard a preacher say that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah not because of homosexuality, but because of hospitality. He said he heard a preacher say that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah not because of homosexuality, but because of hospitality. Is that true? Well, I have to respectfully disagree with that preacher. No, that's not true, because God destroyed them not for their lesser sin. I'm pretty sure it was, the sin of hospitality. They weren't treating people with love and kindness, because of whenever sin is involved, there's selfishness, there's lust rather than love. So I'm pretty sure that there was a lack of hospitality, but that was not why God destroyed it. Not because of the lesser sin, but because of the greater sin, the greater sin of homosexuality. But let's go to the word, because there's a lot of liberal preachers that will say that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the sin of hospitality. And they normally go to this book of Ezekiel. They go over to the book of Ezekiel, and they look at verse number 49. They normally run to the book of Ezekiel, and they look at verse number 49. Now, this is what it says in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse number 49. You got your Bible? You're going to need your Bible this morning. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse number 49. It says, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." So that verse there seemed to focus a lot on the sin of, number one, pride. And they had a lot of bread. It says fullness of bread, but they didn't share their bread. And the abundance of idleness was in her. The people was lazy, laying around, really not doing nothing, and not really helping the poor and the needy. Now, that's why a lot of preachers say that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the sin of the lack of hospitality. But they stopped reading. They should keep on reading, and if they would just read verse number 50, then verse number 50, God tells you why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at verse number 50, still Ezekiel chapter 16, verse number 50. It says, "And they were haughty and committed abomination before me, therefore I took them away as I saw good." God tells us right there why he destroyed them. He destroyed them because they committed abomination. They was haughty. They was haughty and committed abomination. They were so selfish, and they committed abomination. And see, that's the thing about sin. Sin is selfishness. Selfishness is sin. But it said they committed abomination. Now, all they had to do was just keep on reading. And if they would have just read verse number 50, verse 50 tells us why. That's why you got to read your Bible. You just can't just run to one scripture and pick out one scripture, because when you do that, you're taking things out of context. And so those preachers who say that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah not because of homosexuality, but because of hospitality, they are saying that because they've just taken that one little verse out of context. But if they would have just kept on reading, they would have read that God says, and they was haughty. In other words, they were selfishness and lifted up in pride and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away. God said, I got rid of them. I mopped them on off. Now, when you study your Bible, you will find that the abomination that God is talking about here is none other than the sin of homosexuality. Look over in Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 22. Excuse me. Leviticus chapter 18. Go back to the beginning of your Bible if you're having a tough time finding Leviticus. And it's the third book of the Bible. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 22. Look what it says in Leviticus 18 and verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. Why is that? Because he tells you it is abomination. Notice, God said, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. In other words, he's talking about homosexuality. Two men, God don't want them having sex together. Two women, God don't want them having sex together. He said, because it's an abomination. That's why God says, and that word abomination basically means it make me sick and make me puke and make me throw up. That's what God is basically saying when he says it's an abomination unto me. That, in other words, that's not only a sin, but in God's mind, it's a gross sin. It's such a sin that it makes God sick. As a matter of fact, let's go back pick up the context of when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, he first talked about it over in Genesis 18, when God came to visit Abraham. And chapter 18, verse 17, and the scripture said, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken to him. And this is the verse, verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Notice, God said their sin. He didn't say their sins. See, there was many things that God could have judged them for. But God was looking at this particular sin of homosexuality. He said, because their sin is very grievous unto me. And then notice chapter 19. That's how we know it was the sin of homosexuality, because we see a case study. We see a story of homosexuality. Look what the Bible says in chapter 19, verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom and Eden, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground, and he said, behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, unto your servant's house, tarry all night, wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, go on your ways. And they say, nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now, so we got two angels done showed up at Lot's house, and Lot is showing them some hospitality. He done invited them into his house, and they are eating bread. All right. Then verse number 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, what did they do? Compassed the house round, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which come into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And that word know means to know in an intimate way, like a man know a woman in an intimate way. In other words, this word know has to do with sexuality. And notice, the men wanted to lay down with these two angels that looked like men. They wanted to have sex with them. That's what this was about. And this is why God destroyed them, because of homosexuality. And then when you read the rest of this story, because these two angels came there to destroy Sodom. Verse number 13, the angel said, For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And then the angels tell Lot, once they got outside the city, hasten thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was Zoar. So he told Lot, y'all need to run to that city of Zoar, because I can't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until y'all get on out of here and get in a place of safety. All right, so it was destroyed not because of hospitality, but because of homosexuality. And if you don't believe that, just continue to keep reading your Bible. See, the Bible will even interpret itself. Look over in Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 9. Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 9. God compares Israel to Sodom. Look at what he says. Isaiah chapter 3, verse, let's go with 8 and 9 and get the context. It says, For Jerusalem is ruined, and Jerusalem is fallen, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Notice, God compares Israel to just like Sodom, just like they had open homosexuality going on in Sodom. They got open homosexuality going on there in Judah and in Jerusalem. Look over in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 14. Jeremiah 23, verse number 14. Jeremiah 23 and 14. God even compares the prophets to the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at what he says. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem. I'm reading that verse 14 of chapter 23 of Jeremiah. I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. Well, what was the horrible thing you saw, God? They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthened also the hands of evildoers, that none does return from their wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and inhabiting thereof as Gomorrah. Notice, God says the prophets, the people in that city, they act just like Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, they are committing adultery, because no doubt a lot of those men that probably was trying to beat Lot's door down to get to those men, a lot of those men probably was married. They probably, you know, was on the down low. But in their case, I guess it wouldn't be no down low, because it was open. It was open homosexuality. And then when you read Jude at the end of the Bible, you go all the way to the right before you get to the book of Revelation. There's another scripture, one of the last scriptures that talks about Sodom over in the book of Jude, verse number 7. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And so right here, it lets us know why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was destroyed because of sexual sins. He says he used the word fornication. And fornication basically means sexual sin, unlawful sexual sin, any kind of unlawful sexual sin, any kind of unlawful sex, any kind of unlawful sex, any kind of sex outside of the law of God. God uses that word fornication. And it says, and God brought down eternal fire, a fine brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah for that particular city. It didn't say it was it didn't say hospitality, but it talks about fornication, sexual sin. All right, so that's why I have to respectfully disagree with that preacher that said that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of hospitality and not homosexuality. No, the Bible says different. It shows us over and over again it was homosexuality. All right, let's see here. Let's see, can I get this second question in here right quick? Is it possible for a Christian to live in sin? Is it possible for a Christian to live in sin? Yes, I believe it is possible for a Christian to live in sin. See, a Christian that is living in sin is a backslidden Christian. So there is a such thing as a backslidden Christian. And the Bible is full of examples of backslidden Christians. See, it was possible that the whole nation of Israel backslide. God warned that the nation of Israel against backsliding over in the book of Psalms. Psalms 85 and, let's see, 85 and 8. He says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. God says, I want to speak peace to you, to my people and to my saints, but don't turn back to your folly. He's warning them, don't turn back to your folly. In Hosea day, God says this about the people. My people are bent on backsliding. My people are bent on backsliding from me. That was out of the book of Hosea. And then even in the church, churches are backsliding. In Revelation 2 and 3, out of the seven churches of Asia, only two were not in a backslidden condition. The rest was backslidden. So five of those seven churches was in a backslidden condition. You know, that first church, he says of the church of Ephesus, you have left your first love. And so that shows you right there that they were in a backslidden condition. So God's Old Testament people, Israel, they backslid. His New Testament people, the church, even backslide. Even individuals can backslide. Remember Samson? He lived a backslidden life for the most part. He kept going down to the Philistines, laying down with the Philistine women. Don't you remember? Over in the book of Judges 14, 15, and 16, when you read his life, Samson just kept running after those loose women. He kept running after those prostitute kind of women. Remember Samson and Delilah? Delilah was like a prostitute. And so he was going over to those people, you know, the prostitutes' houses and things like that. But Samson was a child of God. He was a Christian, but he lived most of his life in a backslidden condition, and it caused him to lose his eyes, remember? And eventually he lost his life messing around with those worldly women. Even David, remember, David lived in sin for a period of time. Remember, he committed adultery with Bathsheba over in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Read that in your spare time, 2 Samuel chapter 11. And eventually, he had to confess his sin. But he went a whole year without confessing his sin. And then God had to send the prophet Nathan over in 2 Samuel chapter 12. But one of the ways you know a true child of God is a true child of God is like the prodigal son. They may get in the hog pen, but they won't stay in the hog pen because they realize that they are not a hog. That's what that prodigal son, the Bible says, he came to himself. See, when a Christian is in sin, they are not they self. You're being something other than who God has created you to be. And that prodigal son came to himself. He said, I'm going to rise. I'm going to go back home. I'm going to tell my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against earth, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me one of thy hired servant. And so you can see that one of the ways that you know a true child of God, they won't stay in that particular sin. If they do, God will take them on out. He'll take them on out. All right. Well, that's it for today. We hope that something was said and something was done to help you and encourage you on your Christian journey. All right, let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church, a wonderful church right here in Irving, Texas. If you're ever in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, please stop by and worship the Lord with us right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama, real live people. Make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. We have folks who are not even members of our church, but they love our Wednesday night Bible study. So listen for a deeper look in the book at 11 o'clock. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.